is take it easy on yourself when you make mistakes out of ignorance. And I know that, like, oh, that's a learning opportunity, and you feel that little pain or twinge or whatever, and that's an opportunity to learn how to go after that and think about things differently.
Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and every episode we get into what has made our guests vulnerable and how they've learned how to own their awkward in order to live their best life. Stay tuned so you can hear every awkward moment in today's show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Own Your Awkward podcast. Super excited to have a local entrepreneur, businessman, and major influencer here in our community, Kevin B. Dole. How are you doing, Kevin? Welcome. So glad to have you here today.
Andy, I'm doing awesome. Feeling a little bit awkward, but you know, that's what we're talking about today.
That's what we're here for. Yeah. I have really learned to just embrace it. And I tell you, it makes life more fun.
Okay.
So, Kevin, you said it was really important that I used your middle initial. Tell us about that.
Oh, okay. So it's all about the brand. You know, everything as an entrepreneur is about marketing and getting folks' attention. And my middle name is Bruce. It's my dad's name. So I inherited that as my middle name. And I've had so much fun sharing with folks my middle initial. It tends to make people chuckle a little bit. I tell them it's an active verb. there's lots of play off of the last name. When I was an adjunct professor, I substituted sometimes for a guy named Boring. So they got the boring and dull adjunct professor.
That's funny.
There's just lots of good hay to make with my last name.
It's almost like you couldn't have made that work better if they didn't, you know, try to go search you out. We need somebody Dole to substitute for Boring. We need to find the right name.
Yeah, I wanted to call my firm Dole Consulting, but it didn't test out well in the market.
Yeah, it's tough sometimes. You know, we have whatever name we have, and it doesn't always work for marketing when we want to. So that's great. It's funny because I have always seen your name with the middle initial, and in the back of my head, I was like, oh, B. Dole, that's kind of funny. But I never realized how much you actually purposely lean into that.
Yeah, I like to build relationships, and you can do that really easily through self-effacing humor. Mm-hmm. And that's what I found when I was an adjunct professor or a leader for a big corporation, is you want to create, you know, ease within the environment to help people communicate. So,
yeah, and there is something about that where if you can just let down your guard, you know, we walk into a room and people see us a certain way, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait, he's making fun of himself? Like, okay, maybe he's cooler than he looks. Not that you don't look cool. Yeah, but especially in a corporate sense, right? Corporate or collegiate sense, I'm sure. So Kevin, I like to start out finding out from my guests, you know, what's just something really positive you see going on right now?
The most positive, I think, thing I see out there, all the small businesses that I engage with and talk to, they're energized. They're energized on fixing problems, solving problems, whatever their focus is. It might not sound that interesting to all of us, but they're really helping other people out and serving other people through how they take care of people and get the right things done.
That's really true. I feel that a lot. And, you know, as you know, our guests don't necessarily know that's how we met, was at some different networking events for small businesses. And we're both running our own business here in town. And it's interesting, a couple of years ago, I wasn't really in tune with the small business community. And whether that was happening and I wasn't aware, or it's just really blown up the last couple of years, there's a very vibrant market here in Tacoma with small businesses. And the thing that's amazing to me is, like you mentioned, the things that they're solving, the problems. I'm like, this is happening in our town. They're solving world environmental major issues or technology things that I'm like, man, so this is cool.
Yeah, and you've probably experienced this as well. When someone has passion and energy about whatever it is, they are giving to you a lot of positive reinforcement, positive energy. And when you're in a community like that, you're like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah, it does. It gives you a lot of hope for what you can do with your project or your baby. All of a sudden it's like, wait, they're getting excited about, a water filtration system. I can get excited about this thing I'm doing or whatever that, whatever may seem, pardon the pun, but whatever might seem dull to you, might you're like, oh, if they can get excited about that, they're probably not excited about my thing as much as I am, but it is inspiring.
Yeah, I'm pun friendly on my last name, so
There you go. All right. Well, speaking of pun friendly and fun last names, let's get into it. Kevin, what's your awkward thing you've had to really lean into to live your best life?
yeah, so a little bit of history here. Worked for a very large corporation, multi-care health system as the chief human resource officer, as one of the top five, six leaders, quote unquote, in a hierarchical organization, and then pivoted to having a team of 145 to a team of this guy.
That's a big
and
pivot.
I, it's a pretty interesting pivot. And I had lots of great team members and people that were serving the organization and were getting the right things done for the community. And that pivot to being on my own is like, wow, that is pretty remarkable. And what I determined, where I discovered early on, is I really enjoyed my team. I really enjoyed how talented they were and how accessible they were to solving problems. Obviously, we went through some really interesting problems, like everyone else during COVID, shutting down half of our business and keeping employees engaged and whatnot. But my team is so resourceful. And then when I get out on my own, I'm like, oh, that was a big part of my life.
Yeah. That's really an interesting thing to think through because, when we're on the trajectory to grow, where you're going from managing 5 people to 10 to 20 to getting to where you have 145 employees, that's typically a slower growth trajectory. So you build up to it. And then to all of a sudden go from that to stepping out on your own, there was no weaning off of it.
That's right.
Wow.
So you know what I do now?
What's that?
With my clients, and they don't know this, but if they listen to or watch this video cast, they'll learn, is that when I have new clients, I embrace them as my team.
Nice. Yeah.
I bring them into the project, and I think I have a ability to help people solve problems and stay motivated, especially when things are interesting, or an organization. And that's why I enjoy visiting client sites and talking with people. And they don't realize it, but I've embraced them as part of my
Yeah.
team.
You're like, they don't know how much you're actually getting out of it. To them, it might look like good service, which it is, but it's actually gives you it refills your cup as well. Wow. Now,
Yeah, it feels great for sure.
yeah. Was there a point where you noticed the difference that you missed the team? Was it day one where you're like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Where's my team? Or was it a kind of a slow lesson?
It was definitely a slow lesson, but then the epiphany, the thought occurred to me, like, oh, that's what's significant difference in how I'm engaging and what I'm doing and how I'm supporting others, right? So
Yeah.
it was back there, and then build, like, oh, that's what I miss. Then I'm like, how do I solve that? Like, oh,
Right. And
I'll
that's the
have
thing.
a
I think we forget sometimes those components are still there. They just might not be under the same building. So we just have to learn to kind of piece them together in a different way, redefine them.
Then when we engage in those networking events as well, I kind of have that same perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, these folks are, you know, doing different things, interesting things. How can I support them? How can they support me? Give me insight, which I desperately need, and advice, of course. So we're all kind of, it's really important for people to have tribes.
Yeah.
And when you have a tribe, the tribe helps you stay motivated, and engaged in ways that really help motivate people.
Yeah. And I can really, as soon as you said that, I can really relate to this idea of going from a team to one, because I'd been in a corporate sales environment, but it was on a major account where, you know, just locally, there were six of us on the account and we all had our piece and we'd have each other's back. And now being out where I'm in the same boat, I'm on my own, I have had to figure out, okay, how have I created my team, even if they're not in my company? And it is local, other local entrepreneurs, people like you, people that are in cohorts, or and then also, like you said, you lean into your clients, because all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is a great relationship. We're solving these problems.
And then I shared this earlier this week, is that I'm a big fan of Donald Miller's book, Business Made Simple. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, well, I'm getting all this advice from Donald, never met him, but he's on my team.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just go back to the book and like, okay.
Yeah, how there's do I people do this? That, yeah, they don't know they're on your team, but that they are. They're a big part of it, right? I love that.
Very much.
So you have the insight of, okay, I'm missing my team. Was there a point where you realized you could lean into your clients, or was that a second insight, or did that just develop over time as well?
Yeah, it developed over time. As you build relationships with each and every client, you start off slow. You don't walk in there and say, hey, you're on my team. In fact, I never really share that with my clients, but that's how my perspective is, my intention, my mindset. When I work with different clients, is how do I, embed myself in the right way, but not get in the way of what they're trying to accomplish.
Right. I love that. Now, one of the things that I really have learned is that everything is just such a process, and we go through periods of, growth where it's, oh, this is, might be a little harder to get through. When you felt like you left having the team and then started to realize your clients, was that a struggle? Was it just like, oh man, I'm kind of grasping, or was that pretty quick?
Yeah. So I was in denial. Okay. I had some executive coaching help when I transitioned from big corporate environment to my solopreneur, and Lisa shared with me a diagram around a caterpillar going through metamorphosis.
Oh, uh-huh.
And she shared with me that you really need to spend time in this cocooning stage. And I'm like, I don't need to do that.
Right.
I can just jump right into it. And that probably hindered my growth and my ability to really make an adjustment. And now I reflect on all the wise insight that she was providing me at the time. And now I share that with others when they're making a significant transition. It's okay to rest, go through this process, and let your brain breathe, basically. Your emotions too.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot at play there. And we, I think, too often downplay how much the emotions that are at play affect our ability to learn, grow, and produce until we deal with them, or not even deal with, just let them kind of set.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. I have a thing I call cocooning, where, I heard the story about how the caterpillar goes in and becomes this gelatinous blob and breaks down to nothing. So whenever I have those days where I just feel really crappy and I'm under the covers and I'm like, I used to feel like, oh, I'm just, this is the end. I'm wasting everything away. And now I'm like, yes, I'm cocooning, because that's what I need to do in order to come out as this beautiful butterfly and actually this new product, and this is just part of the process. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's super valid. If it's not as if you become a butterfly all at once through a stepwise fashion, because things change, environment change, your experiences change, things in your personal life impact your business, right? And you've got to be able to breathe every once in a while and take that time.
Yeah, I know for myself, I tend to be very optimistic, but sometimes in an unrealistic way where I think, oh, this will be great. I'll do this. I'll start this business today. Tomorrow I'll have 10 clients. The next day I'll have 20. You know, life will be great. I won't run into these struggles that everyone else talks about because I read the book, I did the thing. Did you find that there were things that weren't as quick or as easy as you expected?
Yeah, so I was really fortunate, right, when I started to capture, the attention of a couple clients and do some work right out of the gate, which then created this false sense of security or false sense of arrogance. I'm not sure that, okay, this is going to be easy or simpler than I had thought. And then that work and those projects went away. And what I discovered there, and you discover this moving from, as you experience, from a large corporate environment to being on your own, you discover quickly what you don't know.
Yeah. That's so true.
You're like, I don't know sales. I don't know marketing. I can say the words, biz dev, and sound like I'm confident in it.
Right.
It's truly a set of skills and an art, and in a way to do that that's authentic, that people respond to well. Everyone has to find their path on that.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting. I have found for my business that each year I've had kind of a different theme that I've had to focus on, where I realize that that's the weight holding me back in that I don't know enough about that segment of my business. So, you know, one year it's learning more about the finances. This year, my whole focus has been learning the sales process because I'm confident on stage when I speak, but I haven't learned how to go sell what I offer. And or I hadn't. I've spent all year doing that, and it's starting to pay off. But then, you know, next year it'll be like, oh shoot, what's the other thing that I got blindsided by or that I didn't learn enough yet? And then I'll learn that. So.
Yeah, and what I share with folks when I do some executive career coaching is that, ignorance, mistakes out of ignorance are fine. And you got to give yourself grace. I made
Yeah.
tons and tons, hundreds of mistakes out of ignorance because I just didn't know. Mistakes out of dysfunction, you want to limit those. That means you know the right thing to do, but you still do it anyway.
Yeah. And at some point you wonder, okay, what are you self-sabotage? Why are you self-sabotaging yourself, or what's at play behind the scenes? But yeah.
Yeah. And then that negative talk walks into your brain. You're like, you can't spend, you gotta grab a hold of that and flip it to even an incremental positive step.
Yeah. So how do you do that? Do you have a tip for how you, when you're in that negative mind space, how you change the conversation?
Yeah, so a couple things. First question I ask myself is this going to kill me?
That's a good one.
Determine that it's not. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be all right. And then the other step, and it's not in your book, but I'll give it to you for everyone for free, is when change occurs and you're not quite ready for it, the first step in change management is panic. Heard of that? They're like, oh, the panic part's over.
Right.
So you check that box.
Yeah, you're like, okay, at
Yeah.
least that's done. Now I can move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Over. Will it kill me? Can I go through the panic step? Like, okay, no, not gonna kill me. All right, this is horrible. Okay, now I
Yeah.
snap back into
Yeah,
some
now you
more
just go, okay,
positive.
well, now what do I deal with?
Yeah, I don't think it's super healthy for people to be overly optimistic without a check on reality. So there's got to be some balance there, and you've got to let your brain and your emotions go through those steps.
Yeah, that's one thing I've there's that old saying, know thyself, and I never really understood that until the last 5 or 6 years when I did a lot more self-worth and had to do a lot of time figuring out, okay, what are the things that I'm doing where I'm getting in my own way? And once I know what the thing is, now I can put things in place to protect myself from myself and also help myself be as successful as possible.
Yeah, that's insightful. What I and some people are way better at this than me. They know the right thing to do now, and they know the right thing to do next. That's not in my DNA. I will spend time spinning and thinking and studying and looking, but what I've observed over the last 20 months is that once I figure it out, I'm like, oh, okay, I know what to do next. I know what to do now and what to do next.
Yeah, you've got the whole plan.
And
Nice.
then when we meet with other folks that are in the solopreneur kind of space, you get into social comparison theory and you're thinking like, oh, that person's got it all figured out, and I don't have anything figured out.
Yeah. Perfect
So
example. I met you and I'm like, wow, Kevin's got it all figured out. He's coming from a very successful corporate background. He's got this technology he's using in his business and he's got this whole thing put together. And I was like, man, I wanna have it figured out like that guy. And then we talk more and I'm just going, huh, we're both just kind of figuring things out. Excuse me.
and I have enjoyed that process. I guess that's just my behavioral style or psychology.
Yeah, has there been a an insight where someone has shared something and you're in that moment where you're thinking they have it all figured out? Has there been something where you're like, oh, I guess I'm not as out on the outskirts as much as when I'm seeing what other people are doing?
Yeah, I really enjoy chatting with people and building relationships and having conversations about their businesses, whether they could be a client of mine or not, and I'm learning from that and just collecting information. You know, obviously we engage with folks that are selling us stuff, and they know that small businesses are have challenges in the sales and marketing space in particular. So you're like, okay, is this person, I don't, you know, the trustworthiness all comes in. I'm like, okay, how do I suss through this? And that's why I enjoy talking to others that have been, they're in the same spot. Or, you know, I was just at the coffee shop this morning and I was chatting, with this woman who she had the same book as I did
Oh,
that
nice.
I was reading at the coffee shop. So I walk up to her and I'm like, hey, we should be in a book club.
That's funny.
And then I come to learn about her business. She's been in business for 5 years, and she was nice enough to walk me through all the things that she had done and experienced, you know, in like a 20-minute conversation, and gave me some insight. I'm like, okay, that seems more relational, trustworthy to me, because she's actually used the tools in an effective way, and she'd been in business for 5 years, so that's maybe in this kind of your same time frame.
Yeah, and it is nice when you have those conversations because you can I found that so people share things over the years and a couple things happen. One, different things work for different people. So you take what you need from that conversation, say, okay, I can use this or apply this. And the other thing that I've noticed is some of the things that she mentions right now, I might not be ready to comprehend or understand or use. And then 2 years from now, someone else mentions, I'm like, oh, that's right. That's what coffee shop gal said. And all of a sudden it's like, now I'm ready to apply that because I figured out these other things. I can't do it all at once as much as I want to.
Yeah, it's, I think it's really important for folks who are just starting out with their own business to have some people on their team that have done this before, and that's why I mentioned Donald Miller. I can't remember the 100 Million Leads author. I think it's
Oh yeah,
Seth.
Alex Hormozi.
Oh, Alex. Yeah, Alex
Yeah.
Hormozi. Oh, okay. This is a stepwise playbook. And what that does for me is it gets me into a space where I can do the first step. So that means I know what to do now. And then I can read, go back to the book and go, oh, here's what to do next.
Yeah.
It takes
And I don't
mystery
know if this
out.
happens for you, but inevitably for myself, I will read the book and I will try to figure out how to apply it to my business. And I will struggle with how to translate that sometimes into the product or service that I have, because sometimes it's more focused on a tangible product than what I'm doing.
Right.
And then inevitably, you know, a month or two down the road, I'll be driving in the car or in the shower or sitting at a coffee shop, and all of a sudden that light bulb moment, I'll be like, oh, this is what I need to do. And then I can just implement that whole thing. But I needed something to trigger me to make it make sense.
Same spot. That's a
Yeah.
great way to express it too.
Yeah. So tell us about your business. We've talked about being a small business, making this transition. What is it that you're doing now?
Yeah, so I guide organizations to help them fix their organizational culture and HR execution challenges. I think it's really important for organizations that are ready, not everyone's ready to recognize the challenges that are created in the environment because of the culture that's at the in the organization, and to be deliberate about developing that culture. A lot of organizations, they have a culture, but they don't put any inputs into it to shape the culture the way they have idealized it.
I
So you
see.
need to be deliberate and purposeful about, you know, what are the things, how do we get things done around here?
Yeah. So if I'm
My
understanding you
culture,
right, sorry, are
go
you
ahead.
saying like I'm picturing a business where they've written their mission statement, they said, this is our culture, but there's nothing really at the grassroots or the employee level that kind of embraces or develops the culture that supports what they want to have?
That can occur. Some organizations don't have mission, vision, values dialed in,
Okay.
or they do, and they're on the wall, they're not in the hall. That's
Right.
the phrase there.
Hmm.
So how do we live the mission, vision, and values? And I can help organizations that they've thought about it but haven't really put time and effort into it. And then what I'm most interested in, and this is my definition of culture, it's really simple. Ordinary people getting the right stuff done. So,
I love
as
that.
I share with folks, there's no culture superhero. You're it. You're ordinary people. And now, how do you get things done around here? And are those the right things? And how do we suss through that for your organization and help you be successful? Good systems and processes build great culture.
Okay, I love that. Just ordinary people getting stuff done, because that is so simple. It almost seems so simple that it's like, why is it hard to figure out? Because that's the reality of what we're doing, right? Everyone's going to work doing their thing, and we need to know what needs to get done.
Yeah, I just amend that a little bit. Getting the right stuff done, there's all
Yeah, the
kinds of
right stuff.
organizations do all kinds of things that are distracting and keep folks from knowing and understanding why they're there, how they contribute to the organization. So I always focus on the right
Right
part of
stuff done.
the.
Yeah, that's a good
There are
point.
many organizations that get all kinds of dysfunctional stuff done.
Yeah. So how do you do that? You come in with a magic wand and be like, here you go. Do you spend months analyzing what they have going on, or without giving
It's
away
really a
too much of your
conversation
trade secrets?
about understanding the trade secrets, understanding their history and how they got to where they're at today and where
Okay.
they want to be tomorrow. Just like your change management workup you've done in your book, it's that we're going to go from this to this. So once we know and understand that, how do we get from here to there? I do like to engage leaders when they're ready to have a conversation about. Let's see, the Tacoma News Tribune. If the Tacoma News Tribune was going to write a story about your organization, your business in 5 years, What do you want it to say?
I love that. That's a great
Really?
exercise.
Oh, yeah. I'd love for it to read like this. So now they have a different picture of the from and to statement. It's not as technical, and it's actually got some substance as a to it. And then learning, understanding where they're at, what their struggles are, and sharing with them what I'm capable of helping them with, but not sharing with them that I can fix everything. In fact, I really can't. I'm really just a guide for them to put in place, to help you build your strategy and understand your tactics. And knowing that I have some limits and being clear about, where I can help out and providing resources where I see a gap. I had a business come to me, for example, and says, I want to sell in 3 years. Family-owned business, 25 million revenue. They're getting to that spot. Do I transition to my kids or do I go to market and sell I know and understand that, but not in a way that will serve you. How can I
And
with
there's something about
how
knowing that that's going to make your life better as an individual and as a business owner, and also provide help give better service to them, where you say, oh, this isn't may or may not be the best fit.
That's right. Yeah.
A coach I've been working with, who's been coaching me with the sales process, talks about being magnetic and not only attracting the right people, but also repelling the people that aren't the right people, so they know right away not to even call. It's like, oh, that
Yeah.
guy's not for us. And that way sales and business becomes more fun. It makes it more of a feeling when you talk about using your clients to be your team. If you're in line and you're doing the right things, then all of a sudden it is that teamwork feeling.
That's right. And I want to, I don't think I directly answered your question, Andy. How do I do it? So I'm very interested in data matched with narrative. A lot of times what we get is we get a lot of narrative or we get a lot of data. So how do we match the narrative with data? So when I work with clients, I have a culture survey, I have a leadership development survey, high performing employee type survey, I have an HR execution survey. To collect data information to support the story. That's really important to me in my practice because I want the client to have some baseline data. So when we survey again, they can see if the consulting that I provided, the insight, hopefully, that I've provided has changed things for the organization.
That is nice to have a comparison, because that's one thing when you are looking at things like culture. One of the things that's foreign to me, not having this be my line of work, is how do you compare growth in that area? And I know a lot of it can come down to surveys and things like that, but yeah, the
Yeah,
data.
and then it helps run, helps identify the tactics. So part of the survey is collecting data, but also narrative from the customers that you survey. So for the leadership development survey, I survey across 10 core competencies of how the individual thinks they're performing those competencies and how the organization is performing in those competencies. So then they have a mirror. So they have a mirror reflection of data for the particular organization. We implement the training with the tools, and then we can resurvey. You can resurvey forever, really, see where you're at based on your baseline data.
And is the goal in that mirror to get the image to be as close as possible, that they're in line with what they see?
The goal is for them to have is just like when we look in the mirror and like, oh boy, I'm not 29 anymore, right? In my narrative mind, I think I'm 29. But then when I actually hold the mirror up and look at the data, I'm like, okay, that's not.
Right, that's not reality. Yeah, it's a nice idea.
And I think leaders get in that spot where they think things might be awesome. And to have that data that's anonymized, but You've got one leader that says, our ability to make decisions here is a 3 on a scale of 10. And then the boss says, oh, we're 9. We're awesome at decision making. So then you have a good conversation about, well, why would two people in the same organization have pretty polar, opposite experiences around our ability to get things done, to make decisions?
And even that, just seeing that alone without any work done is enough to really open your eyes, where you go, wow, something needs to be addressed right here.
Right. And then that sets the learner up for the reason why they're going through the training. It's not all best practices. It's best practices that can be applied to what I'm doing every day to be successful.
Yeah, because that is one thing that what I've run into in the corporate culture that I've been in. There's an art to presenting training, especially personal development training, in a way that isn't received as probationary, or you're in trouble, or oh, we're all needing to get on the same page here, and all of a sudden, oh, life is so bad, versus hey, we want to be the best we can. Let's have some conversations and get on the same page.
Yeah, I think it's important to set the stage within my leadership development training that these challenges are super common. And to differentiate yourself as an organization, if you can improve your capabilities in this space, it'll pay off, 5 times the value of the training that the investment of the training you made with me.
So what would be the best way for people to support you with your business right now, with what you have going on and being out there in the world?
So I'd like to offer to folks that I've got a blog on my kbdull.com, kbdull.com website. If you find that information insightful and have other questions, I'd be happy to do a 1 hour call just to get, a sensibility of what you need and problem solve. An example of the blog, and Andy, you've probably heard this in our networking events, is employers are complaining about they're complaining about young employees in the labor market and how they're not dependable, they're not loyal. The switching costs in the labor market are way low compared to, I don't know, whenever, 10 years ago. And I kind of got tired of it. I found that the employers are talking about that they commiserate and they chat with themselves and they feel good that, oh yeah, that business has that problem. That business has that problem. We all have this problem. So the blog I wrote is has 7 essential selection recruitment tactics. 6 of them are free to implement. They do have some execution thinking and challenges to implement. And I share that practical advice freely. The 7th one does require some investment, but it is the best of the 7 selection tactics.
I love that. Yeah,
So yeah, you
it's
go to the
nice when
blog.
you can, yeah, it just access the free, you can tap right into Kevin's brain right there. Just read the blog, and there's a link in the description of the episode. So if you're driving down the road, don't worry about writing it down. Just click on the link to his website once you get done, once you're in a safe spot. But that's awesome. And then you can set up a call.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. And all my friends, Andy, live inside my computer. So if you would like to connect with me on LinkedIn, that would be awesome.
Perfect. Yeah. And there's a link to LinkedIn as well in the comments. Sounds weird to say linked to LinkedIn. I'm tripping over my words here, but that's awesome. So it's been a journey. It's, Kevin, it's been great to meet you at the stage that we're both at, where, it's funny because I met you and I mentioned this a little bit earlier. It's like I'm like, man, this guy has it all together. He's coming from the corporate world, and God, I want to be where he's at on his business. And you have that next call, and it's like, oh, we're all kind of figuring things out. And I've learned so much just from conversations we've had, and actually seeing some of the projects that I've seen you do, where you do get into the detail work, and you do the deep dive on the data, and that's where the difference comes in. And that's something that I really admire, because that's not my brain doesn't work that way in that style. So it's almost like you approach everything like a research project.
Yeah, I do enjoy that. And I had to learn that because all of us are humans and we love the narrative, we love storytelling. So we can get down the road or down the river pretty quickly on narrative. Then it's just okay, let's figure out, what else could support this story and the reality that's occurring within your organization.
Yeah. And do you have surprises sometimes when you do that deep dive where the data doesn't support or changes the narrative?
Do I have
Or do
surprises
you find
or okay?
surprises in the data?
Sometimes my clients are surprised and
Okay.
there's a little bit of
Oh, fair.
denial.
Yeah.
Can't be because they hold the mirror up and now they're not 29, they're 59, whatever the number is. And that's okay because they're going through that first reflection that I talked about earlier, panic. They're going through the change process around panic. Like things are not the same, in department A as they are in department Z, right?
Yeah, it's we talk about raising kids and how each kid is not raised in the same household, as your parents have different experiences and things change. And that's every employee is not necessarily working for the same company experience, depending on the department they're in, who their boss is, where they're at in their career. So holding that mirror up, I think, is really, really crucial.
Yeah, one concept on employees is they don't all have, and this is just drafting off of you, Andy, is they don't all have the same experiences. They enter the company at different times, and what do they do? They bring their experiences from their past employers and other relationships to your experience, and then they test what you said about your culture, and then they make a decision. Every organization, when no matter how big it is, when an employee leaves and when an employee enters, the culture changes.
Yeah, I used to work for a company that was going through merger after merger, and a lot of people were leaving because they'd been there for years. We had been independent, and there was, kind of a common statement as people were leaving was, "Well, everybody's replaceable." And I used to love saying, "Yeah, everybody's replaceable, but not everybody's missed."
Yeah, that's you get to this spot where there's regrettable turnover, like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do without Andy? And then non-regrettable, which is, I
Yeah.
wish Andy the best.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, he's moving on to better his career. Good for him.
No, it is good. And when
Yeah.
it's not a good match, it's as long as it's done in the right way, okay?
Right, yeah.
Transition. So that's the transition you kind of described. Didn't sound super healthy, but
Yeah, it had its
all I have.
moments. So Kevin, before we go, what's one last little piece of advice or challenge you would give people on owning their awkward or just doing well in business?
Yeah, I would. I mentioned this a little bit earlier, is take it easy on yourself when you make mistakes out of ignorance. And know that, like, oh, that's a learning opportunity, and you feel that little pain or twinge or whatever, and that's an opportunity to learn how to go after that and think about things differently.
Excellent. Yeah, that's crucial. I think the kinder we are to ourselves when we need to be, the more we can grow.
Yeah, I wrote a blog about we don't treat, the golden rule or the platinum rule. A lot of us don't even treat ourselves with that rule, but we treat everyone else with that person. So
I know. I don't know why it is that we save the worst of ourselves for ourselves sometimes.
yeah. I like how you phrase that. Yeah, we talk to ourselves the most all day long. So talk to ourselves, and the framing of that is uber important.
Yeah, I feel like there's a blog article coming on just from that thought.
Now I wrote one so people can read it and
Yeah, you go look that up. All right. Well, Kevin, anything else we need to share before we go?
Awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing you in person again, of course, as we bump along
Yeah.
on this little bike.
Likewise. Well, it's been a pleasure. This has been informative and entertaining. I've learned a lot. I appreciate you opening up and sharing some more. It's always great when people are willing to be vulnerable and share the lessons they learn along the way, because I think that helps other people face challenges that they don't necessarily know they have the ability to face. Thank you.
No, this is awesome, Andy. I appreciate you.
Thank you. And everybody else, be sure you go out there this week. And as always, own your awkward.
Thank you so much for listening in for today's show. Be sure to visit awkwardcareer.com to continue your journey. And of course, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends so they can find their awkward side and learn how to own it.